Blog Talk Radio.
Hosting. Okay, we're live on Blog Talk. When a country forgets God, guess what happens? Families are separated, nation against nation, and the children are targeted. And you know what? There's no one left at the helm. No one to hold the fort. Okay? So there's nothing left but to what? Prepare an ark and get on it. And that ark is Christ. Prepare an ark. Because what? There's no turning this thing back. All the corporations are in agreement with dismantling Babylon and destroying families, so that all power can go back to the ten horns, which is Rome, Europe. And I'll be talking about that this Sabbath. Cora has a comment, 347 area code, Cora. When a country forgets God.
Shalom, Elder. I just have a comment on you when you were talking about the changing of labels and everything. I just remembered an instance. I was at the Staten Island Ferry. I went into the restroom, and while I was in the stall, I just heard someone saying, and blah, 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 and the church members and me and my wife, blah, 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 and I'm like, did I walk into the wrong restroom? My goodness. So when I come out, I kind of peep around the corner just to see if anybody's there, and there I see this heifer with hips as wide.
Hold up now. Don't call them by their name now.
There was this female.
Okay.
A female with hips as wide as the double wide, talking about my wife.
Yeah,
and I'm
like, that's what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing right
yep.
now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I said there was an instance of it. Yeah. There she was talking about my wife.
Hey. People got the right. That's what freedom looks like, right? But
yeah.
I'm gonna let that be. But I have to say this. Anything else you want to say on that, sister, before we go to the next call?
No, that's all. I just had that remark about that observation.
Okay. Well, thank you, sister. You always give you always bring in some good points, and yeah, they're at the door. Let me put that on hold for you.
Yeah.
I'm glad I showed a video of that brother taking a stance, but hey, let's talk about our people real quick. Because when it comes to the pride thing, that's written up in scripture. Ezekiel 16 tells us 16 and 48 reads, let's get it. Ezekiel 16 and 48 reads, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister have not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, and thou art thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her, and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. To let you know, it's not just the other nation, it's our people also who began to do what? Sensationalize this particular type of behavior. Who get on these talk shows and berate their own people, their own brothers, their own sisters. So the Most High said he judged our people because we became worse than Sodom and Gomorrah that was judged by him. So this is not just the other nations, folks. It's something going on with our people, which allow these activities to fester within our communities. Read Ezekiel 16. It talks about the pride that comes with it, that word pride. But I digress. 443 area code. 15 minutes before the calls cut out altogether. We have an early night tonight. 15 minutes before the queue ends. Danita, you're live with the Gathering of Christ Church.
Hey, Shalom, elders. This is Sister Danita Williams from DMV, Baltimore.
Yes, how are you? How are you?
I'm good. Blessed by the best. Y'all,
yes.
This is a timely lesson that y'all brought out, and it's just, you know, when I seen that picture of the lady sitting on our sister, it's just like, it just made me think about all the stuff that, you know, Coretta King and Malcolm X's wife fought for us to get to as women, to not, you know, be more than our men, but to be beside our men. So it's one thing for us to, you know, have that respect for our husbands, but that wouldn't have been, like you said, a Dr. Martin Luther King or a Malcolm X if it wasn't for these women. And for us to fall like we've fallen today and not speak on it, it's just utterly it's sad. And we have to take our power back as women and stand beside our husbands and know how to build them up again so that they don't, you know, have this feeling of they have to go to another nation, because our women are within our nation. Our strong women are within our nation. So that's the only way that we can grow together, is we have to take that power back. And as far as our children, we have to stand as mothers for our children and protect our children, keep our children, and take them out of these satanic programs. I don't care what they're pushing. We can bring it better. Yeah. So I yield with that.
Well, sister, I'm going to place you on hold, but the picture she was talking about was the picture right here, where the women liberation started with them coaxing our sisters into some level of equality as if they cared for sisters. But at the end of the day, after destroying our families, making it where we're the least married, now they're celebrating, sitting on our women as chairs after conquering them by... after what they would perceive as conquering them, after standing with them so that they can liberate from us. When there was no issues with the black man and the black woman before this, before the women liberation movement. And the problem with this with this picture here is not the woman at the top here. Who would volunteer themselves for the picture? Who would do this? Who would do this? So it's time for our sisters to start calling out shame out there. Shame. Thank you, sister. Kenyatta has a comment.
Shalom,
do me a favor. Can you turn us off the background, please? Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I turned it down.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I had a comment tonight. I mean, of course, there's a lot that they talked about, of course, of how they separated us and how they are still separating us to this day. And, I mean, of course, you know, when the Bible says many times, you know, that men should not sleep with men and women should not sleep with women. And I remember even when I was in the military, you know, when I first joined, it was this thing that had, you know, it was don't ask, don't tell, you know, if you were gay or anything like that. We weren't allowed to ask people if they were gay, and gay people weren't allowed to tell people they were gay. But then they changed that. And, of course, over time, it got worse and worse and worse, and then, of course, they accepted gay marriage, you know, worldwide. And then so now, of course, in the military, you're gay, like, they don't care anymore.
Yeah, don't ask, don't tell, but it's like this, brother. And you know what? It's like this, though. People are going to do what they're going to do. Okay? There's nothing we can do to stop that. That's why I say this when a country forgets God. Let them do it. Listen, no one can stop them from doing what they want to do. They don't like the Bible. They're against God, whatever the case is. Love whoever you would like to love. But where are those who stand with God is the question. Who's willing to show, who's willing to show the example contrary to all of that? People want to do what they want to do. It doesn't matter how many commercials they try to push or try to put it on TV, whatever. I turn it off as soon as I see it. I don't have to see it. If I see a woman putting a strong dude as big as The Rock in a full Nelson, I don't care how good the writing is, I'm turning it off because it's turning things upside down. If I see a woman in the lead role in anything where a man used to be in that role, I don't look at it. I don't partake in it, okay? So the whole thing is, when are we going to take a stance and do what? You know, vote with our dollars.
Of course.
Vote with our dollars. And say, listen, if you're going to show this crap when I go to see TV or whatever the case is, guess what? I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to put my money into it. And I'll cancel whatever you're dealing with if you're pushing something against our values. So let them do what they want to do, but when are we going to take a stand and show that there's a progressive, a righteous progressive pushback against it? But I digress. Go on.
Yeah. And, you know, and of course, you know, they're going to try to stop us, like you were saying, from speaking out about it. You know, I was called a homosexual because I said I didn't want to go to a gay club. And at that point,
what
I
you
didn't
mean?
Care.
But how was you called that because you didn't want to go? I don't understand.
Yeah, okay. It was, I guess, you know, some gay people and straight people. We were all hanging out together. And I didn't know those people were gay because I just got to the base or whatever. And
okay.
They were saying, oh, we're going to a gay club. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going. And they were like, you know, they're like, oh, you know, they're like, oh, he's a homophobic, you know. And I'm like, whoa, I'm not homophobic. I'm like, that's not, first of all, that goes against the God that I serve.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to abandon my beliefs because y'all think I'm trying to shame y'all because that's y'all's lifestyle. I'm like, no, I don't care what y'all do. That's none of my business.
Yeah.
You know. Like I'm
trying to stay within the parameters there. But let me tell you this. It shouldn't be right for them to shame others who disagree. After all these years championing the spirit of victim, claiming that you were bullied and all those things, it doesn't make sense to turn around when someone disagrees to do the same thing you claim others were doing to you. Okay? If we're going to live and let live, listen, I don't got to participate in what, I don't have to be shamed or spoken negatively against because I don't want to participate in your activity. Okay? And see, they have the autonomy, that's the double standard. They have the autonomy to shame, curse, say whatever they want without getting canceled. But yet we with the Bible, with the biblical traditional standing, have to watch how we say how God feels about all of this. It's just...
Yeah. It's crazy.
When a country forgets God, right? But thank you, brother.
Yep. And then I got one more thing. That machine that you showed in the video, I'm not sure you're familiar with the show Stranger Things. It comes on Netflix. They had a similar machine in that show. And what they were doing...
This is from the last season.
This is from the last season.
I didn't see.
All right. But that machine that they're going to turn on, you know how they say, you know, warning comes before destruction.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people watch these shows, they're like, oh, it's science fiction, it's fake. But there's some truth within those fiction shows. And
a lot of it is predictive programming.
Yeah.
Yes, predictive programming. Usually they'll tell you what they're going to do in these productions. Usually, you know what to look for.
Yeah.
To some people, it's entertainment. Yeah. To others, it's an esoteric message telling people through their lesser magic what their plans are next for those who can see it. But thank you, brother.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. Kenyatta, you always bring some good insight. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad you didn't spoil it for me because I may see it a little later.
All right.
Auntie B, one of my favorite aunts. Auntie B's in the house. How you doing, Auntie?
Shalom. Oh, I'm nervous right now.
You don't have to be nervous. Come on.
Ooh-wee. I'm nervous because you was talking about the tattoos and with the spirits that can attach themselves to you. Elder, I got over 30-something tattoos, and I had them for years. The last tattoo I got was maybe 5 years ago, and the first tattoo I got was over 30 years ago, and I'm nervous right now.
You don't have to be nervous. Are you baptized?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
July 3rd.
Well, sister, if you've been baptized, understand that all your sins have been washed away, and you're going to get a new body anyway. The Bible says, in time past, the Most High winked at our ignorance, but command everyone everywhere to repent. So you cannot change what you did, but guess what? You keep walking the road of righteousness, and you'll get that new clean body anyway upon the arrival of our Christ. So don't deal with guilt or regret from the past. There's nothing you can do to change that. The Most High seen it and cleansed you from it. Okay? Just don't get no more.
No. I'm done.
All right. All right. Good. Sometimes, you know, it's okay for us to talk it out. A lot of us have done things in the past that, some, you know, of course, not like marking ourselves or whatever, something you can't take back. But, hey, we have internal scars, internal marks, things we did, but the Most High cleansed us. So don't feel guilty. Okay, there's nothing you can do about the past. The Most High is going to give us those new bodies. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. It'll tell you all about it. All right. Eunice has a comment. 618 area code. Well,
okay. Shalom, Elder Ricard.
Shalom. How are you?
I am blessed by the best. His name is the highest.
Okay, thank you for calling in. What would you like to talk about?
Hello. Yes, the problem is that they haven't forgot that God. They have took God. They have put him under the rug, covered him up, and said, oh, we know, but we're going to just go ignore and just do what we want to do. Because it's all about the battle of the flesh and the battle of the spirit. And, baby, believe me, we are in a spiritual war.
Absolutely. You're right about that.
So we have about to be girded up more than ever. I need for all our sisters to come together, raise up these beautiful daughters of Zion and these boys, these women. We need to embrace that we are women. We need to realize that we are strong women. We need to be strong. Okay. Like I'll pick it back in from this other sister. We need to be strong for our husbands. We need to be there to comfort our husbands. When the saying in the Bible says men are going to be rarer than gold, that is true. If you have a good man, you better hold on to that man, because we're going to be going through times where so many women are going to be searching for that man, and he's not going to be around because you thought you was independent. I don't need no man. I can do this by myself. No.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, like you're preaching right now.
We need strong men, but men also need that strong women. They, when a man is going through something, he needs the comforter. He needs to lay his head on her. And she needs to tell him, baby, it's going to be all right. We got this. As long as we have each other in the Most High, we can do anything.
I'm going to tell you this. I keep my ear to the ground. You understand? A lot I'm dealing with right now in preparation for what's coming and all that, especially thinking, and there's a lot we need to do. But I'll tell you this. I'm going to tell you, it's not just the sisters going off. I'm going to say, even these white young girls have lost their minds. I'm seeing some of the stuff out there, and it's like, because what you can't do, and this is what I said years ago, you can't harm or indoctrinate one part of society thinking that spirit isn't going to cross the tracks. Right?
Some people have that thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm hearing some of the delusions out there that have nothing to do with sisters. And it's like, the Lord, it's something going on in the earth right now. Okay?
It is.
So it's just time for us to cleave back now. And what you're saying is right. And I'm gonna read a scripture on that real quick. Ecclesiastes 36:24. But I've never seen other ethnicities, we have to get out of that, where we can say that we don't need a man. That's delusion. That's delusion. And we have to get out of that. Okay? Because I don't see no brothers out there. out there saying that we don't need our other half. We don't need our women. And we really need to keep that on the table. Even if there's things been done, we're bitter, things that work out, whatever the case is, we can't do that. Ecclesiastes 36 and 24 reads this, sister. I'm going to just bring take you off after that. It says, listen to this. This is good. Ecclesiastes 36 and 22. The beauty of a woman cherishes the continent. That means when you see a very good-looking woman, it makes you happy, right? And a man loveth nothing. A man loveth nothing better, which means what? Men of vision. That's what Ecclesiastes 36 says. When a woman, you know, got her shape together, she got her spirit together, and she smiles, a man loves that, right? And it says here,
right?
If there be kindness, meekness, and comfort in her tongue, that's femininity, then is not her husband, listen, then is not her husband like other men. When there's a sweet conversation where she's demure and loving, a man looks at her and says, you know what? I'm better than lucky. There's not a man on earth like me, right? This is what it says in Ecclesiastes, right. A man knowing in his heart that he has something special. Then it says in 24, he that getteth a wife beginneth a possession. Okay? Now, this is not talking about a worldly possession. Okay? This is talking about what? A rare possession, something that's precious, something that you keep away and protect, but others don't harm, right?
Right.
He that getteth a wife beginneth a possession, a help like unto himself, and a pillar of rest. That means when he come home, he can only think of the rest that comes with him seeing his woman every day. Right? It's a pillar. It's not talking about a pillow. It's not talking about a pillow. It's talking about a pillar. A pillar holds something up. Right? So it holds it up where it's like, oh yeah, now I can sleep because it's a foundation of rest lies there with a loving and quiet woman. Right? And it says, but listen to what it says though. Where no hedge is. That means Oprah is talking to your daughters, your wife. The women liberals or the single women out there are now giving advice. And not that single women cannot give good advice. But you have some women, because they're not in a marriage, don't know how real, can't give good advice concerning relationships because they're not in it. It says, where no hedge is, there the possession is spoiled. And he that have no wife will wander up and down mourning, because he allows someone to come in and convince her that her being his wife wasn't good enough for her. So you got to have that hedge, because somebody will come in and say, well, what you got is okay, but there may be some greener grass on the other side. See? And now, because he allowed her to go out or go to a trip or go someplace, that curiosity has taken the cat, not killed the cat. The cat is out there. She's gone. Okay? So the whole deal, it tells you, where no hedges, there's a possession is spoiled, and he that have no wife will wander up and down mourning, because he allowed his wife to be what, indoctrinated with liberal feminist ideals. Who will trust a thief well appointed that skipper from city to city? So he will believe a man that have no house and lodges wheresoever the night taketh him. So that's talking about a man who's always sleeping on someone's couch and going off. You see them, they're in this city, then they're on their uncle's couch here or their cousin's couch here. So it's telling you the man you have to look out for too, not just the woman. Right?
Thank you for bringing that out, Elder.
Just Ecclesiastes, the whole of Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha should have been read in all of our churches. I'm so shocked that The Catholic Church has these records of wisdom, but the community that needs it the most don't have access to these books, these wisdom books I'm reading right now. And I believe
that was on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll place you on hold. Thank you.
Shalom, thank you.
Shalom. Going down the line, there's only a few more left. Karen, 703 area code. I see your hands raised, and I'll get right to you. 703 area code.
Yes, sir. Shalom,
Elder. Shalom, Karen. How are you?
By calling with a comment, first of all, I wanted to thank you for the awesome, awesome Hebrew and Bible Academy lesson that you gave this Sunday on the Ark of the Covenant. It was mind-blowing.
Praise the Most High.
Oh, praises. I mean, that was something that I've always wanted to know, and you hit it out the park. So all praises to the Most High for that. My question to you is I have a daughter that she started out trying to find her spirituality. We're going to say that. Went to Mormonism. Then she went into yoga. Then she did this chakra thing. Yeah. So now she has joined this church. I'm going to give you the acronym, WMSCOG, World Mission Society Church of God. They worship God the Mother. See, all of that stemmed from her being, you know, from that yoga stuff and I am the feminist, all this new age religion stuff. It is real. I've seen it. It exists. It has taken over her life. It's out here. And people have to really be careful of their kids because she has a daughter and they pray to this God, the Mother, even heard of this. And I'm sorry?
Yes, I've heard of it. It's a belief from the lowest depth of hell. And yoga let her
in. Yeah, and she said something about the old covenant is a copy and shadow of the reality found in Christ and all of this stuff. So I just wanted to know, make sure that my spirit was leading me. I know what it is. It's a C-U-L-T. Yeah. So, I mean.
How old is she?
She's 33. My granddaughter's 33. 7, and she's, yes, sir.
What about marijuana? Was she getting high?
No, I don't know. I separated myself from her. This CULT has taken her away from all her friends, all her family.
It's a big time call. It pays tithes.
It takes up all her time. I looked it up, researched it, and the symptoms are there. So I just wanted to know, me as you know, as a child of the Most High, you know, it's hard being a mother, you know, not being, you know, with your child, you know. It's like this.
You did the best you could. She's 33 years old. She's a grown woman.
Most
you can do, and I know how my mama was. She didn't want to let nobody go. It's like she just has. I'm like, come on, mommy. We grown folk up in here. But at the end of the day, mothers are nurturers. They never let go. But you have to allow her to walk her path and pray for her. And seek an opportunity for her to sit with you one day if you want a lesson. But outside of that, put it into the Most High's hands right now. Pray for her and pray if the Most High got her out, right?
Got her to that.
Okay? What's her name? We'll make sure you put a prayer for her. What's her name?
Her name is Ayana Ricardo. A-Y-A-N-A.
Okay.
Last name Ricardo, R-I-C-C-A-R-D-O.
Okay, we'll say a prayer that the Most High, you know, open her eyes, and
just
see
bring her
cult she's a part of, and come to safety before it's over. All right, thank you, sister.
Yes,
I appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you, Dawana, sir.
All right, and thank you for participating in our academy, too. It's been
thank
eye-opening.
You.
Thank you.
Right. Yes, it is. Love it.
Thank
Dawana.
You. All right. Hey, Indabar. When a country forgets God, Israel has a common Israel. Okay?
Today,
if your hands are raised, don't worry about it. I'm going to get to you. Israel, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Can you hear me, Elder?
Yes, I can. The floor is yours.
Hey, man, I just want to say, Elder, man, you a cool dude, man, and I appreciate everything you did, man. A couple of weeks ago, you was giving us your testimony about your story, man, and, you know, Elder, man, when you was at that crossroad and you had to make that decision when you was going to throw in the towel, do you realize, man, if you'd have done that, none of this would have existed, Elder? It wouldn't have been no Bronze with no Truth Music. It wouldn't have been no GOCC. I wouldn't be in the Truth. My auntie Neil, my uncle that's 69, he wouldn't be in the Truth. Elder, you changed so many lives, man, and what you've done is so monumental, I mean, what you've done was so big, Elder. I just want to say thank you, man. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, my brother. And, I don't want to think about what would have happened if I would have went, you know, into the world or, you know, made the wrong choice. I don't even want to think about what would have been it for me. I mean,
yes,
I knew based on that moment that, you know, a serious choice had to be made. I knew it was either left or right. Right? In the
yes,
most
sir.
High the most high grace moment. He had grace.
Yes, and the only question is
hold up. But I'm glad I chose this road. Put it that way. I am glad that the Most High found favor. He found favor and allowed me to continue his work because there's nothing else I love better than doing the work for the Almighty. Nothing. But go on.
Yes, sir, brother. And I mean, you're a very knowledgeable and intelligent brother, man. And I learned so much from you. And the question that I had, Elder, was this right here. Because I know you touched bases on, you know, the heat from that video someone sent you. And so my honest question was, I live in a state where you can open carry. And so legally you able to do that. So if you was also in a state where you can legally open carry, and I'm not a teacher or nothing like that, but let's just say you were a teacher. Would you not exercise your constitutional right and have your firearm on you while you're teaching for your personal protection?
Well, usually when it comes to things like that, I wouldn't talk about that publicly on a broadcast anyway, because that takes away the supply that comes with concealment.
Yes, sir.
I think it's a private choice that shouldn't be discussed with anyone. I think people should exercise their right if they have a legal right to do it. The tax money goes towards making sure you can exercise the laws, exercise the freedoms within some of the laws in that particular country if you're living in a country like that. But I don't believe that something should be discussed. I think that's someone's personal business. But personally, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't feel right if I'm speaking with a concealment on. Because I can understand how provocations happen, how they're looking. They'll send provocateurs at the camp, knowing you have something. But now they have the excuse to do what? Come at you and then say, then change the scene around and say, look, he had a gun. So basically, I wouldn't do that. If I'm speaking, I'm not going to have no concealment on me. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that at a speaking. I don't believe that's why. You don't have to. You don't have to.
Right.
Okay? All right? So I believe that people should have security and have protection around them and people who can look have their back and look out for you to make sure everything is good. But I've never been at a speaking with a concealment, even if I have the right to have one. I don't believe it's wise. Understandable. Okay?
Understandable. And I appreciate your input, Elder.
Yeah.
It's very valuable to me, man, and I thank you so much for accepting the time, man, and keep doing what you're doing. Elder, keep pushing, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate all you do, and I appreciate you, the kind words. I really do, my brother. Thank you, and keep your prayers out here for me.
All right. Elder, Barakatha right. And Shalom.
Shalom. Elder Lawyer, I need you to get that scripture where it says that they turn back towards this place that the Most High will hear. He would hear and answer our prayers.
Yes, sir.
In Chronicles, right? I need you to get that. It was in Kings. Grab that for me real quick. Eunice, we have a few more. I'm going to go down the line. There's no more calls and queue, so I'm going to get through these, and then that will conclude our broadcast, an early night tonight, actually. 9618 area code, when a country forgets God. How you doing, Eunice? All right, Eunice, I'll come back to you in a moment.
I think you already got Eunice a little
earlier. Did? Okay, that's
yes,
great.
Sir.
All right, thank you. Minnie has a comment. Minnie.
Shalom, Elder.
How are you
doing? Not too good. I'm trying to think here, not to be too emotional about this, but the whole talk about the abortion, everything. I grew up very poor, very poor. No father in the house. My mom would always tell me, yeah, I never had even a picture of him. So I would go to my mom, who's very, very weak. And I would say, ask her questions. And she would say, I would say, how does he look? She would say, ugly. That's what she would say. I just walk away. Then I'll go and I'll say, ask her another question about him. And then she told me a story more than once that he worked in the hospital where I was born, Harlem Hospital. And he brought home some pills to force her to take, she said, to abort me. But I didn't get aborted, and then he walked out and he left. He never was in my life. And then fast forward to age 23, I knew nothing about God. I didn't go to church. My mom didn't really talk too much to us about God. I get pregnant, okay, and I knew how hard my life was without a father, and the guy I was with, I knew he was going to not be with me. He even came up with the $500, went with me to make sure I did what I had to do. When I came out, I passed out. I was just so remorse. I was crying. He took a cab, and then eventually we broke up. But for almost a year, I was thinking about ending my life. I really was. Mm-hmm. And then somehow God led me to a church where I talked to this pastor. He was a counselor. After church, he said, anyone need counseling, come to me. It was a Pentecostal church. And I explained to him that I was thinking of killing myself for what I did. And immediately, in the Bible, and it says, God forgives you for all your sins. And now I just heard you say that my child that I didn't bring into the world to suffer like I did is standing there telling God that I shouldn't be allowed to live or even to go straight to hell because of what I did. And I'm remorseful about it every single day.
Okay.
But let me finish.
Okay, so let me finish. Make it clear. I didn't say that.
Well, it sounds like that's what you're saying, and it sounds like people who are against abortion are saying that we're bad people, but no one came to my rescue. I told my mom, she was like, well, I don't know what to tell you to do, because she struggled with six of us on welfare. She didn't get married until she was 80 years old. But anyhow, I know nothing about marriage, not to this day. I'm 63 now. I had a husband, but he didn't really love me. He just wanted to get into the country because he was from Ethiopia and is my daughter's father. But I couldn't contact him at first when I was pregnant to tell him. And I had made that promise to God, if this ever happened again, I'm going to do it on my own. And I guess he wanted to make sure that my word was bond, because my husband at the time, he didn't contact me until my daughter, I was like 8 months pregnant. So it took him a while. He didn't come into America until she was 8 months. So I had to go through everything by myself. I really did have to go to welfare until he got here. And then I had to go through the delivery. My mom wouldn't even go with me. No one would go with me by myself. I struggled. And then he came into the country. He became abusive. He did it to me. Really did not love me. So then, now my daughter, she doesn't love me.
Sister, I need you to
feel I'm being punished. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get it all out that I constantly know
you. There's certain things you shouldn't get all out on a radio broadcast.
Okay, I'm sorry, but go ahead.
So let me make it clear. James, the fifth chapter says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed, that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous may avail much. So when I said that there's a scenario in which there's children going against the parents for those decisions, keep in mind, it still comes down to if you were baptized, you confess your faults. The Most High will not hold your past against you. Okay? If you've already went and spoke to a pastor, you confess it, you put it out there, you regret, and you accepted Christ, you're baptized, you're not to hold the past. You ought to look forward to one day meeting that child. So you're working towards a kingdom. You're not looking back anymore. You're looking at what? You're looking at Christ's crucifix. You're looking at the kingdom. So when I say certain things, understand that even though those testaments are there, those testaments are there because you have some people there who are heartless, who are evil, who would sacrifice with no regret. And that's a lot of people out there that are not dealing with, you have a conscience. That's why you're still feeling this at the age you are now. This is not speaking of people who have actually repented for their sins. All right? It's time for you to look forward because there's too many things back there that puts you, that puts you in a dark place. All right? It's time for you to look forward and understand that Christ has forgiven you for your past. You cannot change your past.
The child I did have. She was a beautiful child. She was so loving to me. But something happened when she turned, like, a teenager. She just turned on me. Like, she just hates me so much. And last time I spoke to her was last week because I can't keep...
Well, sister, let's do this. Let me get your name, and we can call you off the broadcast because there's a lot of things you need me,
I don't care who hears. Maybe some people have gone through the same thing as me, but I just feel like I'm constantly being punished for what I did.
Sister, you're not. Sister, that's why the Bible says confess. You didn't say it what you did. You cannot live in that dark place in the past because you'll never find peace. You'll never find happiness. All right? So I'll make sure we give you a call, okay?
All right, then. Thank you.
All right, and thank you for calling me.
All right. All right.
And I can understand that. There's a lot of hurt that goes on within our communities. There's a lot of hurt. This is why Christ seen it all, the Most High seen it all and has given us an opportunity. But we have to take that opportunity and let go some of those dark moments, right? Amber has a question.
Hello, Monster. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. This is Amber from Birmingham, Alabama.
Hey, what's your question, Amber?
All right. Well, I have a quick comment. The sister that had called before, the fact that she had called in, let you see how much strength she still has within herself. She's still trying to look, like you said, she's still looking for that cross. So I hope that sister finds some more strength. And people who are like-minded who can lift her up, because that's a testimony. That sister can encourage other people. Like, if you think your life is bad, look at this sister. She's doing it. Come on, man.
because there's going to be others, and that's why I was trying to let her know to be strong, because there's going to be other younger women who've gone through what she's gone through it even worse. And she can be that guide to say, listen, I've gone through these things, and this is what Christ has done in my life to have me overcome right. that path so that she can be right. an example to help others. Okay? All right. Okay. You got it, Amy. What's the question?
Oh, my question was, I guess you have done this before, but I would like for, like, a more in-depth, if you can get, oh, what's the sister's name that's up there who did the play for this past Passover? I forgot her name.
Sister Shirley.
Sister Shirley, yes. If you can bring in sisters like that and have them talk to the, oh, wait, don't they still do the GLCC women thing? The call?
Yeah, I think she still does the shows on Tuesday or whatever. It still does that. Yeah, they do that.
Is it the same number?
It should be. Nothing has changed.
Okay. I just thought of that. I remember calling in several times.
Yeah, I'll check.
Please. And if they do, can you, like, maybe like, magnify that so we can get, like, sisters like the one that just called before so we can maybe heal the women so we can stand by our men. We need to be in the right mindset. That was my question. How do we stand by y'all? But we have to heal ourselves to do so.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure I speak to Sister Shirley and see if that thing is still going. And if so, I'll promote it.
Please. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You know, we have to make sure when sisters come together, they're not just putting their husbands and their family business all out there, you know?
Exactly.
Things have to be temperate. They have to be temperate to a degree in which we're not disrespecting a man's home. So sometimes we get in our emotions, but realize there's boundaries.
Sometimes
there's going to be disagreements in a home. There's going to be arguments in the home, too. So you can't be there in the midst of that and you're talking to other women, and now this guy is being looked at as the worst guy in the world because he had a bad moment. So we still have to watch those conversations not to dishonor someone's home. As long as those conversations can happen that way, then I'll have no issue with it. All right?
Exactly. Yes, sir. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Amber. You always bring some good questions there. Brother V has a question.
Shalom, Elder.
Okay, I'm not playing in the back, am I?
I got it on one of them little web phones. Is it echoing?
Okay, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I had a question. I got a tattoo on my arm, and it say Looney, man. Like, it's L-U-N-I-E. I can't get it removed because I have keloid skin. Is there anything I can do? Because I don't want none of them demons being up in my house, man, you know?
Well, I think I answered that question earlier, that in Tom's status, the most part, we put that figure. You didn't know any better.
Okay.
If you're baptized, don't worry about it. You get a new body anyway.
Oh, yeah. I need to get baptized too, man. I don't know how I can get in touch with you. This is not my phone. This is just one of those little apps that I use to call in. I do not have a – well, I do got a phone number that I use. I can send it to you. I'm trying to get baptized, man. Every time I try to get baptized, I give – promise that I'll get baptized, but nobody ever calls.
Well, send an email to gathering@airwell.com. That's the number one at airwell.com.
Okay.
And we'll get someone
to appreciate it. All
right.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Angie has a comment. Yes, Angie.
Shalom, Elder.
How are you, Angie?
I'm fine. I was listening to the show and wanted to make a comment about when a country forgets God.
Okay.
And for one thing, it's the young lady that called in she really touched my heart. I almost was brought to tears because a lot of people are hurting. And that's what happens when a country forgets God. I mean, there are people that have families broken up and they're going through a lot of changes right now in this horrible, evil world, and they're just looking for answers. And sometimes they go in all the wrong places. But I thank the Most High that we found you guys and everyone here. When a country forgets God, this is the kind of thing that happens. We get the world that we have now. We get the country we have now, where nothing is sacred, nothing. No integrity, no values, no. And, I mean, it's just frustrating, you know. And I'm just thankful to the Most High that we have a forum like this to come to and express ourselves. So I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to make that comment.
And I was about to say the same thing, because in the midst of all this evil that's going on, the pure evil that has been cut loose in the earth, I'm grateful that the Most High has given us the truth of himself.
Yes.
Can you imagine being in this world without the understanding of what's going on right now, without this truth? So even though there's so much darkness, and that's why I wanted to speak to the sister, not to focus on the darkness, because the light has shined through the darkness. He's actually given us the truth, even though the majority of us have gone through things, broken families, messed up community, abuse, or whatever we have gone through, the Most High still seen grace in all of that to allow us to understand that we're still worthy to receive the promises that were given to our father Abraham.
Yes.
See, that's why we have to look at the positives that came through all of that the Most High had us come through. There's many have fell by the wayside, never made it to the point of understanding what we see today. So there's a lot to be grateful for also, and that's what I wanted to ask you. If we just focus on all of the regrets, That's what Satan used to put us in a dark place, and then we begin to think we're unworthy. And I wanted her to understand, no, through all of her choices, through all of our choices, the Most High still seems fit to give us his truth.
Right.
That means something. That accounts for something. All right?
And I'm so glad that you cleared that up for her, because when I was in the chat, I was thinking that as well, like, oh, my gosh, well, no one can be forgiven. But I'm glad you cleared that up, because it was a misunderstanding.
Oh, no. So, I mean, just like many of us have gone through something, when someone is speaking on it, you know, it resonates.
Right.
But we have to always understand that forgiveness is part of this truth.
Exactly.
And facing some of the harsh realities that the Most High have saved us through. Even though it don't feel good hearing some of the things we've done in the past, at the end of it, we're seeing Christ who still was gracious enough to make us come through all that darkness and still give us opportunity. So that wasn't judgmental. We're talking about a system that incentivizes and celebrates the destruction of children. That's what we're talking about, the children that testify against the parents. In the Old Testament, these people were intentionally bringing their children to the altar to pass under the fire to Moloch. They were doing this intentionally, right? So it was unrepentant. It was part of a ritual for this. So I'm glad you asked me the question so that I can further clear things up, because we've all did error and made mistakes and did what we thought was right in ignorance.
Right.
Right back then. So no one is no one can judge anyone for what they've done in ignorance.
Thank you.
I appreciate
Thank you for clearing that up. And I just have one more thing. If you can, could you do a lesson on family, like the importance of the mother and father, and especially in our Black community, where I've heard parents talking to their children, not talking to them, cussing at their children. I mean, I've seen this woman saying the F word at her 3-year-old child. You know, just it's ridiculous. So I think that there should be something to talk about as far as family is concerned, because the families are without God now in our community,
yeah.
And it's sad. It's really sad.
Yes, it is. Well, yeah. I'll write that down, and we'll make sure we do something on that. Are you in the current academy?
Well, I was. I'm so sorry, but right now I'm just going through some financial things, so I can't right now.
Okay, well, send us an email. If you were, we're going to see what we can work out with you. Just send us an email, gathering@aol.com. All right, if you were in this one already. So we can
bless
do it, all right?
You. Thank you. All right,
you're
thank
welcome.
You. Okay,
you're
bye-bye.
Welcome.
Shalom.
All right. All right, we have Tara has a question. How are you doing, Tara?
Hi. Oh, sorry, I'm kind of nervous. A question and a comment. My comment was that I have been trying to contact the deacon for the Houston body, but no one has reached back out to me, and my baby keeps saying she wants to go to church.
Right.
And I'm trying to get in before my grandmother takes her to her church, because I don't want her around that.
You don't want her there. Hold on.
Yeah.
What I'm doing here as we speak, if you don't mind, I'm texting your number to Elder Aria of Houston.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Please call for gathering there. For Houston gathering. All right. I just text the information real time while, you know, on broadcast. So you can be reached at this number, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. We good then. So you should be receiving a call before Friday. All right?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
I did have another question as well. So I have two kids, two different dads, and like I used to tell my old friends like how I was ashamed of that, because I always wanted to have a family and stuff,
like a
real family with a man in the household. And I would tell them how I was, like, ashamed of myself because I kind of, like, didn't break the generational curse that I went through. And also, you know, because I just feel like that's shameful having two kids by two different men, like, you know. And they would always say, oh, that doesn't matter. Like, someone will love you despite that, and you know, that's not a big deal. So my question, that brings me to my question, because at some point I just said, well, okay, I just gotta get used to being alone, you know. So my question is, would I be able to get married in the future, or is that just out of question?
How old are you?
25, about to be 26.
Okay. What you need to focus on is making sure you're in that Bible, learning the truth, all right, and taking care of your children, making sure they're in prayer. And when it comes to you have control over, you know, men are visual. But make sure that you're visually pleasing to a man. You are what a man wants according to the Bible. And don't even focus on a man. Focus on what you need to make sure you're right, so that if that man appears, you have all the other things in place. You know, you have all those things in place. You can put the phone over here. That a good man would appreciate according to the Bible. Being virtuous. Okay, being respectful. And that's the most high. You're still young. You're 25 years old. You know, you're not, all is not lost. You're still young. Okay? But No one knows what the future holds. But you stay in that word, train up your children according to the word, and make sure that you are visually as well as spiritually pleasing for the one the Most High would actually send you. Now, or you can also think about, you know, your child's, one of your, you know, your child's fathers, and going back and having a discussion, you know, concerning the person you father the children with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's an option, too. Now, you don't got to tell me what the issues are. That's between y'all, but I'm just saying, you know, you're still young. So,
yes, sir. I understand. Like, I'm not really, like, pushing it, per se. I just wanted to know if it was a possibility, like if it would even be right for me to accept that if I should just.
Well, the Bible tells you, right now, if I were you, I would be focusing on that. Are you baptized in the church or no?
No, that's why I was trying to call.
Okay.
Here, so
yeah,
to,
I would say I wouldn't be focused on that right now. You need to focus on getting yourself together, getting yourself right in the Word, and then let that, think about that down, you know, in the future. Think about you and your children and getting right with the Most High, because this is how you are. The Bible tells you, if you're loose, seek not to be bound. And if you're bound, seek not to be loose. You're thinking about the wrong thing right now. Right now, you have to get yourself together and get the wisdom of that Bible and Christ to not make some of the errors you did earlier in your life. So that's what should be your focus. A man is inevitable. If you keep yourself together, you're dealing in the Word of the Most High, and you're keeping yourself ecstatically appealing to a good man. But I wouldn't focus on that. I would focus on you got control over your body, on how your body looks. Make sure if, you know, because men are visual. All right? So focus on that, and focus on getting the Word together and the Bible together and teaching your children what's right according to the Word. That's what you need to focus on. All right?
Yes, sir.
All right? Well, thank you, and nice meeting you, Dara. And what city or state are you in? Because we can direct you to a church in your respective locale.
All right. Thank you so much.
What area are you in? What state?
I'm in Texas. I'm in Katy, but I'm just like the outskirts of Houston. So.
Okay, so you're near Houston, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let me make sure, Elder Ariana. All right, reach you also. Hold on, let's see. Oh, I just spoke with you. I already did that. All right, I got you. All right, let's go to the next call. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
He will call you. All right. Oh. I'm getting all mixed up here. All right, Dwayne has a question. The Bible says if you're bound, seek not to be loose, and if you're loose, seek not to be bound. If you're single, seek the Most High and work towards, you know, self-improvement according to the Word, not another person. Dwayne has a question.
Shalom, Elder. I have a question and a comment. But
yes, sir.
The comment is, I want to get baptized. I'm living in the Massachusetts area near Boston area, so I was reaching out to one of the elders and see if you guys have a body that's close by or anything that I can get that thing done. But the question is, I'm actually going through it's almost a 2-year divorce now. And
yeah.
I'm the one that actually filed for the divorce, but I know how much the Most High, he detests it, and going through it, I can understand why he hates it so much. But you know, I realize that it's a spiritual battle between the man and the woman, and it's not necessarily the person themselves, but I can say, you know, I hear the other women here that are really suffering and hurting. A lot of people are hurting right now. And you know, I can really attest to that as a man. I can say I'm hurting as well, going through the toils of what this Babylonian system has us doing. So I want to know if filing for that divorce and not giving, letting it be, she's done some things, you know, legally said some, a lot of lies and deception and et cetera, which led us to come here and set a lot of false allegations, you know, trying to take my kids from me and stuff like that. But moving past that, I'm the one that's trying to reconcile. I've tried three times, and I feel
now,
like I've been.
Hey, brother, here's a question.
Yeah.
Do she want to reconcile? Does she want to reconcile?
I can't say she's never reached out to reconcile, so I can't say she
yeah.
wants that.
So the answer, one thing about a woman, if she
yeah.
want a man, she's going to be after that man, right?
Okay.
So the whole thing
yep.
is she don't want to reconcile.
Okay.
So if she doesn't want to reconcile, what are you going to do?
There's absolutely nothing I can do about that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you that.
So listen, this is what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to call and ask her. And if she say no, because the Bible says that what? That you cannot be married except it be for fornication, right?
Yes.
So then you don't have to put your business out here, but you have to discuss with her. And if she already went on with her life as far as in that area, then you're free. You're not in bonds in such cases. And how much
okay.
that might hurt, you have to move on if she don't want to. She doesn't want to.
Okay.
Remember Lot's,
and what
remember,
is...
remember Lot's wife.
True.
Okay.
And what if she wants to do some form of therapy and that's her way to move on?
When you said therapy, what do you mean? Are you talking about y'all two reconciling your relationship together?
No, she's talking about the government type of therapy. Let's go to a counselor and them tell us what we're supposed to think instead of us coming together talking out our differences.
That's too one-sided, and I'm sure there's two people involved here,
mm-hmm.
all right? So you're giving me your take on what it is, but I'm sure she has a different perspective, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have your number here. I'll call you offline. We'll call.
All right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Shalom.
And may the Most High rest his soul, but this ain't the Kevin Samuel scenario where you want to just put everyone's business out there because you don't know if your family are hearing it or other people. Certain things are held for privacy, right? To keep the integrity intact, to keep someone's dignity intact, right? Dwayne, I only have a few more. Dwayne. Dwayne has a question. All right, only a few more. Azriel. Shalom, Azriel.
Hey, Shalom, Elder. How are you?
I'm doing well. Blessed by the best.
Good.
We're almost done. A few more calls, and we'll be done for this evening.
All right, no problem. But the video that you played in the beginning of the broadcast, I thought was rather interesting with the father who was putting his son out of his house.
Yeah.
I know I don't know if you remember, but I shared this with you a while back about, the situation with my father and my brother and I. And what I find to be interesting is in that man's age, how he's not willing to acquiesce in that regard to this, new age way of acceptance. And
well, it doesn't matter what the age is, it's wrong according to the laws of God.
Exactly.
New age, bad age, doesn't matter. There's a certain moral
right.
line that comes to mind when it comes to relationships, according to God. We don't care about the new age way of doing things. The old way, God is here. The new way is the new way is destroying everything.
Right.
The old way, God is here. Go on.
So, you know, what I thought was interesting about that was how, like, you know, when I'm seeing that particular dynamic, I've seen another one over the past, you know, 10 years since how my brother, I guess, came out, so to speak, not as if though we all needed to, you know, even for him to tell us that. But I think a lot in what happened was my brother had a thing a while ago, and I had the same thing too, where we were at different points in our lives harming ourselves because of things that were going on in our lives and depression. And so in his case, because you see through the media these stories that they pump out there in the atmosphere where you have these individuals who are taking their own lives because they feel as if though their family doesn't accept them, I think to some extent my father feels obligated to protect his son by accepting it, even though at some point he himself thought it was wrong. And on the other hand, you have me being kind of like, you know, ostracized because my father messaged me, surprisingly, the first time in like almost 6 months. But the message that he sent me was condescending, and it wasn't anything of trying to, like, you know, say, you know, any, you know, bring forward any sort of respect at all for how it is that I'm doing things on my end. And like I said, I still love my dad. I still pray for him. But I thought that video was extremely interesting, and how that father himself, despite it all, wasn't going to stand for that and was willing to tell his son that he was a disgrace in that regard, and that he didn't honor him as his father. You don't honor me as your father. And then when it says that, you know, people be giving over to strong delusions, the Almighty wasn't lying, because it's like I'm the one being ostracized now, and I'm not trying to make this all about me, but I'm looping this all back.
Okay, but it seems like something is missing, right? Why are you being ostracized? You didn't explain what's the reason for
I'm being ostracized because I drew a line in the sand with them, with my father and my brother, and I told them.
What was the line in the sand?
The line in the sand was my wife and I decided that when it comes to our children, we feel it best that what we're teaching our children be reciprocated.
That it be reciprocated in our absence. So that way, as to avoid any sort of confusion, the children are learning the same exact thing with you guys as they are with us. Now, we're not here to impose on anybody's lifestyle. We're not here to tell you what to do with your lives or anything like that. But this is what we're asking of you, because we feel it best as a community and as a family to work together in that respect. To which my father responded, "I'm not using that Bible." He said his words, not mine.
Okay. Oh yeah, and yeah. You called me for it. Yeah. So
exactly.
It's like this, right?
Exactly.
Your father's scenario is a different dynamic than the video that was shown.
Right.
Because the father was willing to work with that young man. He was living under his father's roof. But he took his father's kindness for weakness. He began to shame his father by publicly doing things that brought shame to the home, which led to the father running out of patience with him. It's one thing, I'm not going to put you off because you're my son, but you're not going to shame me in my home. So that father was patient with him, knowing that his son was dealing with some uncomely activity. So his father didn't put him away. His father was looking
right
for him, and he brought shame into the home. So I'm going to say this. I don't believe a father needs to just put his son away if his son is dealing with some level of sin or whatever the case is. I believe there's a patient point if you see that. child working towards honoring you as a father. Right?
Right.
But you're not going to, I'm not going to allow you to shame me. Now, here's the next thing. Here's the next thing with you. You can draw a line in the sand, but I wouldn't cut my father off for, you know, for his choice and actually being there for his son at some degree. The line in the sand you should make is this, brother. I don't agree with that, and my children can't be around that. But outside of that, I'm down with my family. As long as you can comply with my rules, I'm okay with being around
Elder,
the family. Yeah.
And that's exactly what I told you. And my father himself told me that the Israelites replaced your family and this, that, and the other. I'm like, Pop, what are you talking about? Nobody has done anything at all. He texted me that. I still have that message. Nobody replaced anybody. These are his words, not mine. I feel like he was speaking from a place of emotion. But like I said, he and I haven't necessarily had a discussion in that respect since then. And it's like I don't really have much else to say because, like my father said, he asked me. Well, when he sent the message that he sent, in the message he was basically saying, like, you know, for you not to accept somebody's lifestyle, why would you accept gifts from an individual whose lifestyle you don't accept for your children? Because before, mind you, this happened after my wife gave birth to our twins.
Okay.
There was a baby shower that they held for us. It was like a retro baby shower, just last minute thing, and they brought us to close because her side of the family didn't. So, you know, it was all done in good faith. But this was before you decided that you know, you didn't want to, you know, go based off of what we were, you know, teaching our children or bringing our children up. This was well after that. You could see if it happened. You know, if it was that big a deal, my thing is that's something that should have been addressed within the same time frame as that discussion back then. And I feel as if though my father is
let me ask you some direct questions here.
Go ahead.
Do your brother live with your father?
No.
Okay. Let's do it like this. You have to separate the two.
Okay.
What you got to do is sit down with your father and have a heart-to-heart with him that has nothing to do with your grown brother. Okay? Because you have the power to have a relationship with your father and his grandchildren, regardless of your grown brother being somewhere. He should even be in the conversation.
Right.
So you need to just let that your brother's a grown man, not living with your father. Don't patch up your relationship. Your father got two separate sons, two separate relationships. And he can't feel he's being blamed for loving both of them. So as long as that relationship that's going on with your other brother isn't affecting your children, you can't dishonor your father in that. Okay? You just have to draw the line there and say, listen, I'm going to patch up my relationship with my father regardless of his stance on him standing with my brother because I have the power to make sure my brother's lifestyle doesn't affect my children.
Okay. And that – thank you. I'm glad you brought that out because I also – I did the same with my mother. And I had this – my mother asked me a question about how, you know, what if in fact that, you know, she just so happens – to, you know, because whoever she lets in the house, who she lets in the house. So when she was telling me that, she was basically kind of like signaling in a situation like your brother comes by and, you know, they in my house and, you know, him and his, I guess, boyfriend or whatever, you know.
That's a different circumstance.
Yeah, yeah.
Your mother done kicked you off. She done let you know that there's some uncomely male activity going on in her home. So
right.
you have the power to understand that. She tipped you off. There may be some sinful noise happening. So
yeah.
what you gotta do, you see that going on. Back off of that. Don't say anything and know that she sounded the alarm, that your children cannot be in her house because anything can cut loose there inside. But your
right.
I take it your father and mother aren't living together, correct?
No, they're not together.
Yeah, so listen, you're fine. You're fine. You know where not to take the kids. You straight.
Yeah, at the same exact time, there's also a situation with my father where, you know, he kind of allows the same thing in his. But like you said, it's all about knowing how to maneuver about why is the serpent.
Brother, you got the truth. You got the full power and authority of where your children go and who influences them.
Absolutely.
So this is where your father is going off with this Israelite thing, because he knows that you got the full autonomy to make sure they're fine anyway. That you shouldn't treat him a certain type of way because your brother hanging around doing some stuff he don't got no business. They're grown people,
right.
Separated, compartmentalized, it, keep them away from your mama's house because that's where they're cutting loose at, and patch up your relationship with the father. That's clear.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it was only because my father had a thing where he was saying to me that, you know, I'm not using that Bible that y'all teaching over your house and all this other stuff. So I was like,
brother, that's fine too. Brother, listen, that's fine too. As long as I'm treating him according to that word, that's fine. He don't have to have the word. He don't have to have the word, brother. He can pick whatever he wants. But your relationship, how you deal with him, will determine whether or not he'll look into it one day. You still have to honor that man as your father, whether he knows the word or not.
Right. So what would you suggest be done in this situation?
Sure. I'm glad you asked. Dad, listen, I'm in the word. I believe in God. But listen, there's nothing I would do to fracture my relationship. I love you. I know you love me. There's no harm that can come to you with me believing what I believe, because in the Bible it tells me to honor my mother and father, and I do honor them. Okay? I would like us to mend our relationship, and keep in mind, I'm going to believe in this Bible, but I still honor and respect you as a father. I want to come together. I want my children to be around you. I want them to get to know you. Okay? And yeah, right, because he doesn't expect you to come that way. He'll respect you. He respects you came to him and said, listen, regardless of what you believe, you know what I believe, but I love you and I'll always honor you. Okay? So and open the door for him. Open the door for him to come in and be a grandfather to his grandkids. And down the line, he'll ensure some of your standards.
Say again.
Okay, he will. I say down the line, don't be surprised if you do it this way. He'll enforce some of your standards. He'll understand what you believe, and when your children are around him, he's going to protect those children based on his respect for them. Okay, he'll be like, no. He can't eat that. The children don't like to eat. He can't eat that. Your father will do that for you, but you must honor him first.
Okay.
He can't believe that some guys came in with – don't forget, he went online and seen Israelites, and he don't know the difference.
Right.
So, yeah, so he's judging you according to that. He expects you to be operating with him like he see these guys out there. So, go apologize to your father and say, listen, I'm fine, Dad. I'm fine. I want him in our relationship. You take the stand. Since you're the one, don't forget, if one that's overtaken in the fault, restore that person in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself that thou also be tempted. It's your father who can't see straight in this matter right now. So it's upon you, having the knowledge, to gain your father. He doesn't have the knowledge. You do. Okay?
All right. I'm just, you know, I really thank you for that, because this has been something that's been, you know, it never sat right with me, and I hope
yeah.
that I never, you know, dishonored my father in any sense like this, or my mother
yeah.
for that matter, because, you know, like I said, I don't hate him, or I don't hate my brother, I don't even hate my mother, I don't hate any of them at all. I don't have
yeah.
that in me, I have that animosity towards them. I love them all, but at the
yeah.
same exact time, at the expense of my children, no.
Yeah.
No, and I know my father's going to ask me about
Listen, take one step at a time.
Okay.
Take one step at a time. Believe me, based on your defense for your children, you're the last person to have to worry about anyone doing anything to them.
Right.
You set the boundary, but still keep your relationships intact. Talk to your father, all right?
Okay.
All right, my brother.
Shalom. All right. Thank you, Elder. Shalom.
You're welcome. All right. Last call for this evening. That concludes all the calls. Unfortunately, the blog talked and went blank. May the Most High be with you all. And now we understand. It's a lot going on. Let me tell you, it's all cooked up in one. Noah's Ark being built while the Most High is preparing a flood. And Sodom and Gomorrah knocking on Lot's door while the Most High is preparing a fire. And both are now running concurrent with each other throughout the earth. They've opened up the gates. And it's time. They open up the portal. And it's time for the righteous to stand on what? On the truth. It's time for us to stand together against all unrighteousness and pray. Pray for protection and guidance from the heavens. That's right. I'm Elder Ricard Shiar. This concludes our broadcast for this evening, When a Country Forgets God. And we'll see you this Friday on Patreon. Well, let me see what Patreon is going to be real quick. All right, let me